Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Abgenommen, bedauert.
And thank you all for tuning in. Welcome to the Mystery Frequency Podcast, where the stories of the past are found waiting to be heard again. Today we have three episodes of The Avengers, the British espionage series, in radio form. If you've ever seen the TV series, let me know. Who is your favorite John Steed partner? I know I used to watch the ones with Emma Peel, but I believe there was two other ones. I think one before her and one after. And if you're a fan of the movie version, let me know. I'm sure there's a few of them out there. But if you're a fan of this episode, be sure to check out Volume 1 of The Avengers in the Archives. And as always, it would be great if you would follow, review, and rate. It would be awesome if I could get my rating numbers to match my listener numbers. So I'd appreciate any help. And check out the links in the description for everything show related. And don't forget to check out the polls on Spotify. It's a great way for me to get feedback about the show. And with that, please enjoy Volume 2 of The Avengers.
Now, from the makers of Cold Water Omer...
In Emma Peel's apartment, she poured coffee for John Steed.
I thought you were trailing Jeffcott.
Oh, I was. But he's in a board meeting until 6. There seemed little point in squatting outside the factory until then. Don't worry, I'll be back on the beat before he's through. How was United Automation?
Impregnable. Admission by appointment only. But I have the appointment and the punch card which gets me in to see Dr. Armstrong.
Punch card? How does it work?
Well, I shan't know till I get there.
Well, why did you come back?
To collect one briefcase and slip into clothes that have a more literary sheen. John Steed, journalist, collecting some gin on automation in modern society, you know. Will the machine supplant man? Or woman, for that matter.
And will it?
Steed eyed Mrs. Peel's shapely figure as she sat down and crossed her silken legs.
Not from where I'm sitting, Mrs. Peel.
The Avengers. John Steed and Emma Peel, The Avengers.
Coldwater Omo has really powerful cleaning action. Mrs. Senior discovered this.
My husband wears overalls to work, and they come back very sort of greasy and dirty. My girl actually does them by hand in the tub, but she uses Coldwater Omo, and they're fine, and they come up perfectly clean.
They say once an Omo user, always an Omo user?
I've stuck to Coldwater Omo, and I'm still using it. It's the strongest washing powder I've used.
Coldwater Omo cleans best.
Sherry Ann Field chooses Lux for her complexion.
I always use Lux. I find it so very rich and creamy, and I love the perfume.
Like Sherry Ann, choose Lux for your complexion. Lux, a beauty treatment as you bathe.
Episode 4 of this story, in which John Steed and Emma Peel continue their investigations, and Steed receives a deadly gift. John Steed took himself off to the offices of United Automation. He had consulted Roger Gilbert, a forthright and friendly scientist and administrator who had given him the full background on Dr. Armstrong, who managed the firm. Dr. Armstrong was an ex-ministry man and something of an inventor. From what he'd been told, Steed formed the hunch that Armstrong was all-important and connected with the deaths of the four men who appeared to have been chopped down by a karate expert. Steed was looking forward to the meeting. The offices of United Automation seemed deserted. There was no reception desk, no one on duty. Steed walked across to what appeared to be a clocking-in device. A small notice read,
"Insert your appointment card here." "Well, with pleasure."
Part of the walls slid away, and Steed found himself facing an open lift. An automatic voice said,
"Enter the lift, please."
Steed looked around with interest. The lift was lined with padded leather and included rows of buttons, with one marked assembly shop. Steed was tempted to push the button, but before he could make up his mind, the lift stopped. The doors slid back and revealed a library. Books lined three walls from floor to ceiling. The fourth wall consisted of a large electronic computer, impressively arrayed with complex dials and indicators. Above the desk of the computer was a wide radar scanning screen and two television monitoring screens. As Steed moved over to these with a great deal of interest, the door near the computer opened. Dr. Armstrong entered in a special automatic chair, which carried him swiftly the length of the room and stopped behind a large desk.
"Mr. Steed?"
"Yes, Dr. Armstrong?"
"Please stay where you are. My infirmity in no way impedes my activity."
Armstrong made a few adjustments to dials on the armrest of the chair. The chair slid neatly forward and came to rest in front of Steed. Armstrong extended an arm from under a traveling rug and proffered a fleshy hand.
"How do you do? I'm afraid you'll have to be brief, but please sit down."
Steed looked around for something to sit on. A leather chair suddenly appeared from the floor.
"This is the age of the push button, Mr. Steed. My factory is entirely automated."
"Well, the appointment card is rather neat, but couldn't it be duplicated?"
"It's recoded for every visitor."
"You've no staff at all?"
"Only for maintenance and for sales. As a journalist, you'll appreciate that we human beings are, well, fallible, temperamental, and so often unreliable. But a machine, such as this chair, however, is obedient and invariably more competent."
"Machines do go wrong."
"No, indeed. So one builds each circuit in triplicate. Failure can be rectified automatically without the risk of, shall we say, hemorrhage or surgery. A perfect, trouble-free labor force available at one's fingertips, as you can see."
Armstrong's pudgy fingers lifted the arm of Steed's chair, revealing a set of controls. He pressed various buttons.
"Security. Steel shutters over the doors. Efficiency, comfort."
Lights glowed from above. Cold air swept into the room.
"And relaxation."
"Very restful. But that music wasn't composed by a computer."
"It will be, in time. We've machines that not only work, they think. Come to the computer. I take this punch card. It is programmed for a complex equation. We drop it in and press a button. There, the answer."
Steve gazed down at the strip of undecipherable punch tape that gushed from the computer.
"I'll take your word for it."
"Correctly programmed, the machine could answer all questions on finance, science, and even military or political matters. It could supplant the human brain entirely."
"Is that for publication?"
"I'm theorizing, of course. The problem is size. But with the development of new circuit elements, it can only be a matter of... excuse me."
"Of course."
Steed got up and moved down the computer as Armstrong picked up a small internal telephone.
"Yes?"
"I have the information."
"Go on."
"An offer is expected from Industrial Developments."
"But Lambert is dead. They've no one else to negotiate."
"Someone else has turned up. A man called Steed. John Steed."
"What? Turn on your TV scanner. Is this the man in the room with me now?"
"Yes, yes. That's the one that followed me in. That's him."
"Right. Leave this to me. I'll see you in a moment.
Well, Mr. Steed, I hope this has been of interest."
"Oh, it has. It has indeed."
"Well, I never let my visitors leave empty-handed. Here, a pen."
Armstrong held out to Steed a distinctively shaped fountain pen.
"We hope to market these very shortly. A solid ink."
"Solid?"
The temperature of the hand electronically feeds a stream of carbon particles into the nib, emitted only on contact. Cannot leak or dry out. Refilled once in 10 years.
The felt pen manufacturer is going to love you.
You accept the gift?
Of course, thank you. It's been a most informative visit, Doctor.
My pleasure, Mr. Steed. You'll find the lifts are open. Goodbye.
After Steed had left, the other door opened and Benson entered.
What was he doing here, Doctor?
Snooping, undoubtedly.
Well, why let him go?
Benson, you're employed to take orders, not give them. I may be confined to this chair, but I'm quite capable of dealing with Mr. Steed. But first, we've got someone else to deal with. Prepare for target assignment. At once.
In the office of Jeffcott Products, Jeffcott himself was also on the telephone. He was making a few notes on a pad as he spoke, using a very distinctively shaped fountain pen.
Yes. Yes, fine. Yes, I've got all that. Mm-hmm. That'll be okay. Goodbye.
Jeffcott replaced the telephone and leaned back in the chair, toying with the pen. Then he rose to his feet, slipped the pen into his top pocket, switched off the table lamp, and prepared to leave. Outside, in Emma Peel's car, Steed said...
He's taking his time.
That light went off some minutes ago.
No other exit?
Well, there's the warehouse, but his car's parked out front.
Let's go and have a look inside, shall we, Mrs. Peel?
Well, there's no future in this. How do we get in, though? Knock on the door or break in?
Keys, Mrs. Peel.
Keys?
All locks are illusionary. Remember my sleight of hand? Come on.
A few minutes later, Steed was working on the front door.
If it's bolted from the inside, that's not going to do you a great deal of good.
He hasn't come out. It's reasonable to assume that it's just on this one lock. There we are. After you, Mrs. Peel, you know the layout.
Thank you. Better try without any light. The passageway here leads down to the showroom. Most of the front section is given over to electronic toys. This way.
I wonder how much of this toy business is genuine. How much is a cover for other activities?
Well, toys and karate don't seem to go together. Or do they?
Jeffcott is a man of many interests and...
Steed, who had been following Mrs. Peel through the darkened showroom, had been careful not to disturb any of the toys, but he tripped. His foot shot out and hit a large doll, knocking it over.
I love you. I love you. I really do.
Oh,
I love you.
Steed, you never told me before in so many words.
The devil, you shut the thing up.
Let me do it. Only girls should play with dolls. Here, give it to me.
Very effective.
Come on, but be careful this time. We could have disturbed...
Wait. Listen. Listen.
What the devil?
It's coming from above. Come on!
Through here. Wait. Light.
Over there, Steed.
Mrs. Peel pointed at Jeffcott's legs protruding from the back of the desk. Steed moved over, swinging the desk lamp downwards.
Oh, looks as though he's been hit by a 5-ton truck.
But who could... I mean, he was a karate expert.
Well, apparently not expert enough.
Steed, look at that wall.
They both stared at the far wall. There was a large, splintered gap in the wooden partition leading to the warehouse. It was exactly as though a man of at least 7 feet tall had walked straight through it. King-sized karate, Steve.
Last lurch, Sam Lacey finishes washing his dog in just 17 minutes, 45 seconds. Well done, Sam. They're near the sports.
I lift a pint of beer now and then.
You look very fresh, Sam. What deodorant do you use?
Shield for Sportsmen, of course.
Why?
It works.
Shield for Sportsmen deodorant won't stick, sting, or stain. In aerosol or roll-on, it's made to keep sportsmen cool and dry. Think what it can do for you.
Once an Omo user, always an Omo user. So many housewives, like Mrs. Adnall, say.
I wash every single thing in cold water, Omo. Anything that's washable come out spotlessly clean.
Yes, Omo cleans best.
The Avengers. Listen every evening, Monday to Friday, to John Steed and Emma Peel, The Avengers, brought to you by the makers of Cold Water Omo. Now, from the makers of Cold Water Omo.
Through here, Mrs. Peel, look where.
Wait, light.
Over there, Steed.
Mrs. Peel and John Steed, snooping around Jeffcott products, burst into Jeffcott's office. Steed following Mrs. Peel's pointing finger. Jeffcott's legs were protruding from the end of the desk. Steed moved over, swinging the table lamp downwards.
Phew. He looks as though he's been hit by a 5-ton truck.
But who... I mean, he was a karate expert.
Not expert enough, it seems.
Steed, look at that far wall.
They both stared at the far wall. There was a large, splintered gap in the wooden partition leading to the warehouse. It was exactly as though a man of at least 7 feet tall had walked straight through it.
The Avengers. John Steed and Emma Peel, The Avengers.
Once an Omo user, always an Omo user. This is what Mrs. Lyons of Yellowwood Park, Durban, has to say.
It is the one powder that does everything. Well, for me, I know that.
Yes.
There's so many things that I've used and experimented with just to prove cold water Omo, really to put it to the ultimate test, you know, and I find that it's what's come up to all my expectations.
Yes. Cold water Omo cleans best.
Walls Ice Cream presents the new Pink Pussycat song.
We've got strawberry and vanilla, top and half. That's our inside. White milky chocolate the way you like. All over the outside. We're Walls Pink Pussycat.
Episode 5 of this story, in which Emma Peel is placed in danger and John Steed discovers the horrible truth about a deadly gift. John Steed and Emma Peel were investigating the deaths of various businessmen who were competing to obtain a concession from the Hirachi Corporation. Four men, all key representatives, have been brutally killed by an unknown assailant. And now, Jeffcott of Jeffcott Products had also met a nasty end. His neck appeared to have been broken by one blow. John Steed moved to the shattered partition leading into the warehouse and stood in the opening. The man-shaped gap quite dwarfed him. He stretched around in the opening with his umbrella.
Well, whoever he was, it could hardly be called Shorty.
Emma Peel joined him in the opening.
Yes, in through here.
And exit for Mr. Jeffcott.
And that leaves a clear field for Dr. Armstrong's concern. It must be his doing.
Yes, but if, as you say, the worthy doctor's confined to a wheelchair, I presume the wheelchair's hardly this big.
Hardly. But he could have hired someone.
Mm-hmm. Perhaps, but who? This size? And a karate expert? You know, it's strange, but all the staff at the Senside Gymnasium are on the small side. All except Jeffcott himself, of course. I saw Jeffcott give an exhibition of karate chopping, which was quite unbelievably good. Who on earth could walk through this wall and tackle a man like that?
Who? Or what?
Pardon?
Listen.
False alarm. Just sound of the electronic toys being set in motion.
Mrs. Peel, look, there on the floor.
A toy mechanical robot walking slowly towards us.
Through this opening. Now, if that were 7 feet high instead of 7 inches...
Indeed, you can't mean...
Dr. Armstrong runs United Automation practically single-handed. He has very few human beings on his staff because it's all computerized. He's kinky about mechanical aids and creating machines that do the job of men. Now, it could be that he has a killer machine. Nasty thought, isn't it, Mrs. Peel?
Back in Mrs. Peel's apartment later that night, John Steed was making final preparations.
What's that, Steve?
Just trimming around this punch card.
You think it'll work?
I had a feeling I'd be paying Armstrong a second visit. So I got Gilbert to produce what you might call a skeleton key. This is it. Now, here we have two punch cards, identical in the shape of the original, complete with perforations. How's that?
Very pretty.
Now, you hold on to this one.
Oh, no. I'm not staying here. I want to get in on the act.
It's important that you stay in contact with Sama. I'm the only one who can block Armstrong's moves. Try the Hirachi Corporation. Look, here, I'll give you the number.
Steed sat down at the desk, and taking the distinctively styled fountain pen from his pocket, he wrote on a pad.
Oh, that's a nice pen. What an odd shape. It's like a submarine.
Huh? Oh, there's. Yes, a wee gift from Dr. Armstrong. It only needs filling every 10 years. Solid ink or something.
Steed left the pen lying on the pad for Mrs. Peel.
It's late, Steed. What if Tassano's left the office?
Then try the big hotels. He's an important man. He must be on a hefty expense account. Being Japanese should make him easier to trace.
What story do I use?
Well, see you're my secretary from Industrial Developments, and we'll make an offer first thing tomorrow. That'll stall Armstrong for the night.
Armstrong must want that concession pretty badly if what you think is right.
Yes, but somehow I don't think it's just for profit. Now, will you stay and follow through like a good girl?
All right. But you'd better be back here by 11:30.
And if I'm not?
I shall use my punch card. That's what.
Steed used his own punch card to gain admittance to United Automation. He dropped the card in the slot by the lifts.
Enter the lift, please.
Steed wondered privately if Armstrong had any method of monitoring the lift's movements. If so, he could have a rather nasty reception waiting in the computer library. The lift stopped. Steed stepped out. The room appeared to be empty.
So far, so good. Hold it. Figure slumped in that black leather chair. Enormous figure.
Steed approached cautiously, wondering if it could be Armstrong, but the gloved hands that hung over the broad arms of the chair appeared to be lifeless. There was no sound, no movement, no sound of breathing. Steed suddenly reached for the reading lamp on the desk and flashed it on the inert figure. The hatless, indefinable face was covered with a light-colored stockinged mask, upon which perched dark glasses.
Gotta get a better look at you, chum.
Working swiftly, Steed removed the stocking. Underneath was the stainless steel face of an automated man. Steed tapped the face with the glasses.
A robot, all right. A killer robot, maybe.
Steed replaced the stockinged mask and glasses. Nothing but a dark hat lay in the figure's lap. A sudden noise alerted Steed. He looked around for a place to hide. There wasn't any cover in this soulless, clinically neat room. Steed spotted the air conditioning grill.
Oh, blast. It's bound to bring someone.
Steed succeeded in getting the metal grill free and squeezing into the air shaft, closing the grill back into position just as the door opened and Armstrong, in his automatic chair, glided into the room.
Oh, come, Benson. No need to worry about answering that.
Is that it? In the chair, that is?
Yes, that is it. The Pabulum robot. He's quite harmless, really. That is, until programmed. Then even I can't stop him. Of course, he's only a prototype, like a child, really. But one day, he'll have a brain more efficient than this computer. He'll be powered by solar energy, and that steel casing will stand the blast of an atomic shell.
He looks quite human. Uncanny.
Yes, but he travels with the accuracy of a guided missile.
How?
Let me show you. He's directed by a simple radio transmitter. Now, Steed's frequency is 0.113. Watch.
Steed, in the air conditioning shaft, was all ears and peered out anxiously. Armstrong made an adjustment to the panel on the computer. A radar screen lit up. A small flashing light commenced to bleep upon it.
There it is. That's Steed's transmitter. The fountain pen I gave him nestling comfortably in his breast pocket.
Steed, listening at the grill, automatically felt in his pocket.
Oh, Mrs. Peel. I got the wretched thing back at the flat with Mrs. Peel.
Now, all we have to do is set the Pabulum robot switch to the same frequency.
A counter bleep could be just heard coming from the robot. It got to its feet and headed with a shuffled tread for the lift doors. Armstrong pressed the button to release the doors and said,
"So, Benson, that will be the end of Steed, and the concession will be ours."
In the air conditioning shaft, John Steed knew he'd got to move quickly. He crawled his way along, searching for another exit grill. There wasn't one. He was trapped. In the computer library, Benson and Dr. Armstrong watched the progress of the two dots on the radar screen. When the Pabulum robot reached the fountain pen transmitter, it would kill viciously. In Mrs. Peel's apartment, Emma was making a phone call, the offending fountain pen lying in front of her.
Thank you, Mr. Tosamo. I'll get Mr. Steed to phone you tomorrow morning without fail. I'm sure we can do business. Yes? Yes, I got that. 11:30. Goodbye.
Mrs. Peel replaced the telephone, picked up the pen, and made a note of the time of appointment. Then she took up the evening paper, made herself comfortable, and began using the pen to complete a crossword. The Pabulum robot plowed on. Some time later, John Steed, wandering about the tunnels of the air conditioning unit, found himself in what appeared to be a small maintenance room. It had a door, but no handle from the inside.
Like being trapped in a meat safe. Well, what's that?
It was a thermostat control. The fans were set to 65 degrees. Steed smiled and turned it all up to maximum. The temperature rose quickly. Later, in the computer library, Armstrong looked up from the radar scanner.
It's getting darn warm in here.
Nerves unable to stand the pace, Benson.
Oh, it isn't that. Look at the thermometer on the wall. It's over 70. It's nearly 75 now, and it's going up.
What? Must be a faulty thermostat. I'll call maintenance.
Steed, back in the maintenance room, wiped the sweat from his brow and took up a position by the closed door. A short while later, the door opened. Steed reached for a heavy spanner and was about to bring it down on the head of the man who entered when he stopped. It wasn't a man. It was a white-coated robot. Slowly and with difficulty, Steed edged past the robot and made a quick exit down the corridor. Get going, Steed. Time ticked on. Mrs. Peel finished the crossword and looked at the clock. It was nearly 11:30. She rose, put on a warm jacket, and unconsciously slipped the fountain pen into one of the pockets. She headed for the door, down the steps, and towards her car, making sure that she had the punch card in her handbag. The robot, which was about to climb the outer stairs, turned and lumbered down them again. Near thing, that, Mrs. Peel.
People coming to stay, so you're bound. must look specially clean. But is everything really clean? Not only where they'll notice, but in those hard-to-reach cracks and crevices, like around the tiles. That's the sort of dirt that's hardest to shift if you don't have Vim 99. Only Vim has deep cleaning bleach to get right down into cracks and deep-set stains, leaving everything really clean and germ-free. For total cleanness you can trust, use Vim. Vim 99, the strong one.
No dirt can stand up to the cleaning power of cold water Omo. Mrs. Whelan had to wash greasy overalls.
And I thought, oh, well, I won't worry. I'll stick it into cold water Omo, and sure enough, every bit of grease is out.
Once an Omo user, always an Omo user.
The Avengers. Listen every evening, Monday to Friday, to John Steed and Emma Peel, The Avengers, brought to you by the makers of Cold Water Omo.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Allo or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/try.
Now, from the makers of Cold Water Omo.
Time ticked on. Emma Peel, in her apartment, finished the crossword in the evening paper and looked at the clock. Nearly 11:30. Steed had agreed to be back by that time. Mrs. Peel rose, checked that the punch card that would gain her entrance into United Automation was in her handbag, and flung on a warm jacket. Unconsciously, she slipped the distinctive-looking fountain pen into one of the pockets. Outside, on the back stairs, the enormous shape of a 7-foot man began to start to climb up. Mrs. Peel headed for her front door, down the steps, and to her car. The man, who was a pabulum robot, stopped, turned, and lumbered down the steps after her.
The Avengers. John Steed and Emma Peel, The Avengers.
many women say, once an Omo user, always an Omo user. Because there's just no dirt that can stand up to the cleaning power of cold water Omo. It solves Mrs. Sutherland's washing problems for her.
Very dirty oil or grease marks.
Yes.
If you use cold water Omo, there's no trouble at all. It comes out very, very easily indeed.
There's no washing problem too difficult for cold water Omo. Over 1 million South African housewives have proved it.
To keep your complexion soft and smooth, choose Lux with its creamy, moisturizing lather and precious perfume. Lux, a beauty treatment as you bathe.
Episode 6, the final episode of this story, in which John Steed and Emma Peel come out on top, after all, and prove that the modern advance in automation can be a deadly gift. John Steed didn't know how much trouble he was letting himself in for when he accepted, as a gift, the distinctively designed fountain pen given to him by Dr. Armstrong of United Automation. For the pen was more than it was supposed to be. Inside it was a simple radio transmitter, beamed back to the computer library where Armstrong had geared a pabulum robot to exactly the same frequency. Had the plan worked, Steed, carrying the pen, would have guided the robot towards him and been killed in much the same karate way as were the other men. But Steed had, all unwittingly, passed the pen on to Mrs. Peel, who had just had a narrow escape. Steed hadn't done all that well either. He'd been trapped in the inner workings of the air conditioning unit and only escaped by turning up the thermostat control. Back in the main body of the building, he'd headed straight for the nearest telephone.
She said 11:30. It's just gone. Come on, woman.
Too late, Steed. But in the library, Benson and Armstrong were also bemused. For on the radar scanning screen, the two dots that represented the transmitter and the robot were growing farther apart.
What's happened? The robot's lost him.
Well, that's impossible. His movement, I agree, but it can't do anything with delay matters. It'll get him.
A door opened and a large, white-coated figure lumbered in.
The maintenance robot's come to report.
The robot stopped at the computer panel and inserted a card. A moment later, from a slot in the computer, a punch tape, dotted with the minute holes of the computer's vocabulary, gushed forth.
Now, let me see.
Armstrong reached out, tore off the strip, and with a skilled eye, immediately interpreted the tape.
What the?
What's wrong, Doctor? What is it?
The thermostat was altered manually. There's an intruder in the building.
What's that?
Someone using the telephone in the next room. See to it, Benson.
Right. And I'll take him along, too, for good measure.
Right.
Benson drew a gun from his pocket, and Armstrong made a few adjustments to the switches in front of him. The maintenance robot followed Benson quietly to the door of the room. Watch it, Steed.
Gotta risk getting through that library and to the lift. Well, here goes. No.
Oh, no, you don't.
Steed stepped forward to tackle Benson, but the robot behind the door immediately reacted. It stepped forward and cut Steed down. I said, watch it, Steed.
Welcome to the land of the living, Steed.
Oh.
Right, keep him covered, Benson.
Don't worry, one move and he's a dead man.
You should count yourself fortunate, Mr. Steed. The pabulum robot that stands before you was programmed just to knock you out and not to kill you.
How very remiss of you. I can't wait for a return belt. It'll be a pleasure to short-circuit him once and for all. Now, let's see.
Don't move.
Oh, there's another of them. Looks almost human. Oh, no, perhaps not.
What? Another crack like that, and I'll...
No, do be quiet, Benson. That's the trouble with man, Mr. Steed. He's such an impulsive creature who cannot cope with crises. Today, one wrong decision, one simple error, could bring total destruction.
And I suppose you think you've got the answer, Doctor.
By all means. There, Mr. Steed, in the Pabulum robot, the electronic brain. I have blueprints, if you'd care to study them.
I'll take your word for it.
You see, it's a small, complex computer built with these new circuit elements. With the knowledge contained within this library, think of what the machine can learn. It can be programmed with every known fact of science, economics, world history. A pabulum robot capable of absorbing knowledge like food. And with its electronic brain, incapable of a wrong decision.
And what is your end product? The perfect politician?
Exactly. Government by automation.
Sounds to me like an electronic dictatorship.
It is the only solution.
Well, I'd say that would be up to the voters. They might disagree.
Once we take delivery from Harachi of a mass-produced army of pabulum robots, it will only be a question of time.
Dr. Armstrong! Doctor! Doctor, look!
Armstrong swung his chair round and followed the gaze of Benson towards the radar scanning screen. The two points of light had started to flash again. The small one was nearer the center of the screen, the larger one following behind.
About to enter the building. A friend of yours carrying the fountain pen, eh, Mr. Steed?
Maybe.
Well, it's an opportunity to demonstrate to you my radio-controlled pabulum. Whoever it is who is calling has a very nasty surprise awaiting them.
Mrs. Peel arrived and gained entrance to the main building quite easily. She used her punch card in the hall.
Enter the lift, please.
And she took the lift up.
Now, where the devil is Steve? How do I find him in a building as big as this?
Good question, Mrs. Peel. In the library, Armstrong had switched on the TV screens and was able to observe Mrs. Peel quite clearly.
What a charming young woman. I'm sorry she won't be joining us.
Armstrong reached out to a panel marked Lift on Control and pressed the assembly shop button. In the lift, Mrs. Peel was vaguely surprised when the lift glided to a stop and the doors opened. She stepped out into a huge room filled with crates and boxes, all filled with the various parts of the pabulum robot. Armstrong watched her progress with interest.
Very interesting. But the other robot geared to the transmitter should be with us soon. Yes. The closed circuit TV is picking him up in the lift.
Steed watched with growing apprehension as the enormous figure of the pabulum robot filled the lift. It stopped at the assembly room floor, and the robot lumbered out, pursuing Mrs. Peel down the pathway between the crates.
I think you must agree, Mr. Steed, that the automated assassin was a stroke of genius. Loyal, obedient, and extremely efficient. Just how efficient, you'll be able to see for yourself at any moment.
Now, look here,
Armstrong. Don't move, Steed. Don't move. Just sit and watch.
Is this your idea of progress, Armstrong? Killing by robot?
I can allow nothing to stand in my way. My robots will prevent the ultimate catastrophe.
But at what price? A pabulum robot police, Dave. People are not machines. Of course, they're fallible. That's what makes them human.
While Steve was talking, he was working at the armrest of his chair. He remembered how Armstrong had demonstrated all kinds of gadgets that were worked by the buttons concealed in the arm. The security gates at the lifts, the airflow control, even piped music and extra furniture that rose from the floor. All these things were at Steve's fingertips as he raised the arm. With the flat of his hand, he pressed the whole lot at once. Steve ignored Armstrong, threw himself at Benson. The gun went off. Steve got a grip on Benson and threw him at the computer cap. Steve rushed for the lift. The doors opened automatically. Come on, Steve, you're cutting this one a bit fine. In the assembly shop, Emma stopped her investigations when she heard the familiar sound of the robot's footsteps.
Of that at all.
The robot approached. Mrs. Peel dodged, and the robot plunged its way through the crates, cutting a direct path towards her. Mrs. Peel reached into her pocket and withdrew an automatic pistol. As the enormous figure pushed crates and boxes out of its way, Mrs. Peel crouched down and then fired at point blank.
The pabulum robot didn't pause, but continued relentlessly. Steed entered from the far side of the room.
Don't tackle it! It's a robot controlled by a pen in your jacket pocket! Throw me the pen!
Right!
And approaching at speed, caught the pen neatly. The robot swung round and now made to attack him.
Steed, throw back the pen!
At that moment, Dr. Armstrong appeared in his chair, moved by the second maintenance robot. He made an adjustment to the controls, and the maintenance robot left him and went after Steed.
Watch it, Steed! You've got both of them on you now! Throw me the pen!
No fear!
Steed had a far better idea. As the maintenance robot attacked and swung its arm in a vicious karate chop, Steed ducked under the blow and fixed the pen in the robot's overall pocket. Immediately, the first robot turned and attacked his fellow machine.
No! No! Stop! Stop them!
Armstrong, reacting with horror at the battle between the two robots, thrust his chair between them.
No! No! Stop!
Well, Armstrong always did say that human beings were fallible. He's just made his last mistake. Come on, Mrs. Peel, let's leave the machines to take over. They'll destroy all this quicker than we can. Come on, let's take a quiet drive home. Horse and cart, perhaps?
And with a final heave on the spanner, Ronnie Miller finishes changing his flat tire in just 6 minutes 32 seconds. Well done, Ronnie. You play any other sports?
I wash the car once in a while.
You look very fresh, Ronnie. What deodorant do you use?
Shield for Sportsman, of course.
Why?
It works.
Shield for Sportsman deodorant won't stick, sting, or stain. In aerosol or roll-on, it's made to keep Sportsman cool and dry. Think what it can do for you.
The cleaning power of Coldwater Omo gives you the superb cleanness you want from a washing powder. Listen to Mrs. Baxter of Claremont.
It really is good, you know. I mean, it's unbelievable, really, that it could be so good, you know.
Once an Omo user, always an Omo user.
The Avengers. Listen every evening, Monday to Friday, to John Steed and Emma Peel, The Avengers. Brought to you by the makers of Coldwater Omo. The Avengers. Donald Monat as John Steed and Diane Appleby as Emma Peel is adapted and directed by Dennis Fulbig and produced by David Gooden.